نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is a slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah, for you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is your raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that he may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the fire. We want to, inshallah, again change our topic today, inshallah, for that which we hope might be beneficial to fit the present circumstances, inshallah ta'ala. And this and with this in mind, we want to start with our statement that the da'wah to salafiyya is not a lecture alone. The da'wah to salafiyya is not a class and that's it. The da'wah to salafiyya is just not the answer to the question, ain Allah, or where is Allah. The da'wah to salafiyya is much more than that, though that's the basis and it's important for that. But today, inshallah ta'ala, we want to look at some other aspects of establishing this da'wah to salafiyya and what's going to be needed from all of us if we're going to, inshallah ta'ala, be amongst those who will try to establish and to spread this da'wah to sahiha, the da'wah to salafiyya, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. As we're saying, it's not a lecture, it is a lecture. And I hope that I don't sound contradictory, inshallah ta'ala. As we're saying, it's not only a lecture, but it is a lecture. And for this, it's very important for us to understand the importance of the students of knowledge and the people of knowledge in general. It's important for us to understand their position and their importance in the community in establishing this da'wah to salafiyya, especially when it comes to the issues of leading the salah and reciting the Quran properly, or when it comes to delivering the khutbah for the people and handling the necessary subjects that needs to be handled so that the masses of the Muslims might understand the basic issues of their deen. And then it's going to be needed to handle all of the other issues from the classes and the lectures and the small statements after the salat and handling the question and answers of the people when they arise. It's very important that somebody of knowledge is around to establish and to hold that position, whether it's one person or two people or even more, but it's important. And I hope, inshallah ta'ala, that I don't hurt anybody's feelings. And I hope, inshallah ta'ala, as this talk is basically advice, that the people, inshallah, they take a look at this advice. And perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in light of this not being new to myself. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The brothers who are studying, reading the English translations, the brothers who, mashallah, are listening to tapes, the brothers who, inshallah, are around the circles of knowledge, inshallah ta'ala, this isn't what we mean when we say the students of knowledge and the people of knowledge. This is for the masses of the Muslims. These books that have been translated into our language, alhamdulillah, and we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we thank all of the people involved in making these translations available to us as they benefit us in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as individuals. But on the community basis, when someone is going to stand before the people and represent the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then more than that is desired. And I'm the first one, like the rest of the people, to understand, well, we just accepted Islam, or we're doing the best we could, or what have you. All of the excuses, valid or otherwise, I'm aware of it myself. As I was just saying in a class that I had earlier today, that I remember when I was making salat, and I first learned how to make it, I was making salat in my room. And I still had some of my equipment there, and I had it like an entertainment center. I used to have Fatiha and whatever on the transliteration on the top. Then I opened the drawer up, put the paper on the side, what you say in Rukur. Then I had my papers laying on the floor looking how to recite the Tashahud and stuff like that. And I had to learn the Fatiha just like everybody else. I was a grown man, 21 years old, when I accepted Islam, and I'm aware of everything that we got to go through to learn this deen, because I went to the same thing of not being able to sit down in the tashahud, because it was too long. And you'd be kind of like waiting for the taslim, then you fall over because you can't sit. I couldn't bend my foot back, just like many of us, we take our shahada. I took my shahada like the next person, and I went through all of those stages. But I understand, I hope, inshallah ta'ala, that when we say that knowledge is needed to establish this da'wah, we're not talking about the knowledge that the masses of the Muslims have. And we're the first ones to encourage the masses of the Muslims to get on top of this knowledge and to take advantage of the authentic sources that have been translated into English, whether they're in book form or magazine or newspaper or tape, or whether they're at the classes themselves. We're the first people, inshallah ta'ala, to encourage. But the thing has to be brought on another level if we're to establish this da'wah. If we want to establish some fake da'wah, you go through a 3-month, 6-month training course, learn the program of the imam or the sheikh or the da'wah or whatever, and it's done. This da'watul mubarakah, the da'watul of the haq, it takes much more than that. And we hope, inshallah ta'ala, that as a community we understand the importance of knowledge and the people of knowledge on a higher level than ourselves. Everyone can argue issues, and this is bad. And this isn't what we're talking about when we say that the people of knowledge have to be present to make sure that the salat and the khutbahs and the classes are given properly, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala, and not just people who are reading this book or that newspaper or been to that class or whatever. They have to learn to put it in the hands of the one who is in charge of that aspect. As we were dealing with one of the stories, and we'll just end it here on this point, and we hope that the point is understood, with the case of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when he had the debate with the people of deviance when they were making dhikr by throwing stones in the masjid. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu is from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went back to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and said, "I saw something." "What you say?" "I ain't say nothing, I'm waiting for you." And wallahi, nobody should have a position more stronger than the position of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari and passing it on to someone else. Everybody has to learn, pass that thing on to somebody else, the one who has the most knowledge amongst you, to pass it on to him and to let him handle those affairs. You might differ with him, you might not agree with him, and so on and so forth, but you have to learn that there's some protocol in this deen of al-Islam, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen, and we'll get into that. But the people have to know that the level of knowledge has to be on a higher level, and somebody has to be amongst you to represent it. Otherwise, things will go back as they used to be, and it's easy. And it's taking place, if you haven't traveled, it's taking place already in other masjids. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and make us understand the importance of this point, that everybody's not going to handle the issues of knowledge. And we're not saying to blindly follow anyone, nor are we saying there's a priesthood or monkhood in Islam, but everybody's not going to handle everything. Everybody's not going to handle everything, and if there's ever been a time that is important for us to understand, to say, I don't know, Allah knows best, and to pass it on, now's the best time. If there's any time, now's the best time to say, I don't know, and pass it on to somebody who knows from amongst the people who will be amongst the more knowledgeable people in the community, inshallah ta'ala, because if you don't get the affairs of the salat intact, and the affairs of the khutbah intact, and then the affairs of the classes and the handling of the questions and the answers of the people, then you back in the problems that you have. Everybody done read something and everybody can handle a little something. This is different than what we're talking about in handling a community. It's a different issue than when you got five Salafi brothers in a masjid where the imam don't know no Islam. It's different, that stance that you might have to take and making Islam clear to you, than the stance of five Salafis in a masjid where everybody else is Salafi with them. It's a whole nother stance that everybody's going to pass it on. Now it's not needed for you to take that firm stance to defend something because somebody there is more knowledgeable than you, and he will defend it. And if he feels like defending it at that moment or the next day or the next week, then it's for everybody to respect that person with that knowledge and to let him handle the affairs as he sees fit. And if Allah bless you with your turn to be more knowledgeable than him and to be handling that affair, then it will be in your court, and then you will handle it on the spot or the next time or whenever you feel like handling it. But this is very important for us in the affairs of this deen, because the people, as we were covering in our last issue and holding on to the jama'ah, the people didn't differ and divide till the knowledge came to them. And don't think you won't be in this masjid like in other masjids where the brothers who are claiming to hold on to this manhaj are fighting each other and at odds with each other, and no progress whatsoever is being made because everybody's the sheikh. Everybody's a student of knowledge. Ain't nobody blind following nobody. And we'll get into the issue in more detail of blind following, but we hope we understand, inshallah ta'ala, that the people are more knowledgeable should be the people handling those affairs, and everyone else should follow their lead, inshallah ta'ala. Which brings us to the next point of leadership and administration and establishing the community and the importance of having order and organization and establishing the community. And I want to come back to the same example so that we can see, inshallah ta'ala, it's not five Salafi brothers in a masjid where the people are not practicing anything. You in a masjid, inshallah ta'ala, where everybody's on what you want. And now the people are going to have to understand that there has to be some organization, that there have to be some rules and some policies, that there has to be a direction and the people going in that direction. And not everybody going any way he wants to, doing whatever he wants to. This deen, alhamdulillah, is not chaos. Rather, this deen is about organization. Walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I have an opinion, you got one, and probably everybody got an opinion. But if we're going to move forward, we're going to have to come to some common grounds and basis and agree on something and move forward from that. That point that we might be moving forward on, not all of us are going to agree. But some of us are going to agree, and that's going to be the decided direction, and we're going to have to move in that direction, inshallah ta'ala. It's going to be important for us to understand the issue of organization, and the issue of working together, and the issue of handling administrative affairs, as it's going to be extremely important in establishing the Salafi da'wah, and we're going to see as we try to cover some of the other points, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala.
but just from the top, that if everyone is left open to go any way he wants to go, to do whatever he wants to do, to take a direction he wants to take, then tell me, where is the progress going to be? Where are the goals and the objectives? Where are climbing the ladder to achieving what you want to achieve? None of that's going to be there if everybody's going in his own way, everybody has his own individual ladder, and everybody's doing his own program. Nothing is going to be successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I hope that we understand that decisions will have to be made. Administrative affairs will have to be taken care of. And a decision will be made, and it has to be made, and everybody else is going to have to follow. And we're going to have to understand sometimes following things that, for the sake of the organization and the betterment of the whole community, that you might not see it to be right. And there's a lot of things, if we live in the society, that we don't think is right. We might think it should be a stop sign on this corner instead of a light. The people decided it should be a light instead of a stop sign. If you had the chance to make the decision, you make the decision. But sometimes decisions are going to be made for you, and you're not going to have any input, but it's for the betterment of the whole. You can't think as five individual anymore, and we're looking out for myself to defend this hop amidst the people who have all gone astray. It's a different when all of the people are trying to work to what's correct. It's still going to be some differences, but you have to understand that there has to be some organization and some law and order and some policies and some protocol so that the people can move forward, inshallah ta'ala, as one body. Now this is going to stem from the next point that we want to emphasize, and this is obedience to those who are in charge. And I don't mean obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, though it's compulsory on every Muslim to obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I'm not referring to that. We Salafi, we already understand obedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and following the ways of our Salaf al-Salih. I'm not talking about that right now. I'm talking about the other part of the ayat that it used to be hard for us to come to grips with because of the ignorance of the leadership or the people in charge. We ain't talking about that no more. Now we're talking about the leadership, inshallah ta'ala, that we wanted to be in charge. And now we're going to have to understand obedience to that leadership. Sometimes this point has been lost, unfortunately, when you're five brothers here, or two brothers there, or one brother there, is you used to following your own program. You used to not taking orders from the leadership. But now that the people are going to have to understand that, once the masjid is organized, and the people are going in a direction, and there's some administration and some leadership, that the people are going to have to be obedient to that leadership, and know that they don't just have the free will to do as they like. The Muslims are going to have to understand, they don't just have the free will to just do whatever they like or as they like, but that they're going to have to follow the lead of those who are in charge. And this thing, and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to have this established overnight, though it's not easy to take place overnight when the people are making a transition of not listening to who's in charge and being rebellious, whether we were rebellious in Jahiliyyah, and then we accept Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us to be under some people who don't understand the reality of His deen. So we just used to disobedience to the leadership. Now we're going to have to understand that that obedience to the leadership has to be there and it has to be in place. And sometimes it's going to go against your personal program. Some people are going to have to take that day off of work for the betterment of the community when the people in charge decide, you got to handle such and such on such and such of a day. And the people have to understand that when they say, I got to go to work and I got to provide for my family, don't insult us with those type of statements when we're talking about following the leadership and taking care of business when business has to be taken care of. All of us, alhamdulillah, we're men and we understand our responsibilities, inshallah, especially the people who are going to be people who are responsible and in charge. They're going to be the first people who understand that they have a responsibility to their family. That responsibility to their family that all of us have has never stopped us from taking a half a day off of work, or a whole day off of work, or 2 days off of work, or whatever. Sometimes we just take off of work because we're tired. or we lazy, or we don't feel like going, or whatever, and we're going to have to understand when this issue comes to obedience to the leadership and the leadership making the decisions and directions and calling the people to account, that the people have to answer this. And this issue that the people say when you ask them to hear and obey, they say, I obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Really, that ain't got no place right now. That statement don't have a place amongst the Salafi brothers, I obey Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam. They don't have no place. Don't try to undermine Islam by playing with some ayat and some hadith that we all understand by saying, I don't have to listen to him. He ain't the Khalifa. He ain't the Imam. He ain't the Amir or this or that. People going to be in charge of something, as we're going to explain, inshallah ta'ala, if we get down to the issue of someone being in charge of the maintenance of the masjid and the upkeep and the cleaning of the masjid. He's going to have to make certain rules and policies in order to help him or her or the group of people better keep the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clean. If they're encouraging or recommending or commanding somebody to do something, they can't say, you just handle maintenance. Who are you to tell me what to do? The brother has a responsibility, and everybody is in charge of his responsibility according to the responsibility that he has been entrusted with, and everybody got to follow that lead as much as he has to follow that lead in order to make the whole picture come together. This issue of I don't have to listen to somebody, that loose cannon type of attitude or do whatever you want to type attitude, that don't have no place in establishing no community. It has no place in establishing this Salafi da'wah. This da'wah is not based on chaos, walhamdulillah. Is not based on do whatever you want to do. There's a lot of brothers who are claiming that they're holding on to this manhaj in the world, and they're on this do whatever they want to attitude, and they don't have nothing established for themselves. Whoever want to go out and brag that he knows where Allah is and everybody in the masjid don't know, salamu alaikum, go, and there's a whole bunch of masjids where you can stand in the masjid and know Islam better than the people in the masjid. And you can brag that you don't follow nobody in the masjid and that you know more than the people in the masjid. Whoever has that type of do whatever he want to attitude, let him go to those masjids and do that. But if we're going to work together in establishing this manhaj, then everybody has to realize that it's not about himself. And that people are going to be in charge of certain aspects of the community, like it, who like it, and who don't like it, don't like it. And maybe who's in charge of the maintenance, you might have wanted him to be in charge of the secretarial matters. And maybe the one who was in charge of the money, you felt he should have been in charge of the construction of the masjid or whatever. Everybody's not going to be able to make every decision or to be a part of the making of every decision. But once this decision is made, it's going to be on everybody to follow that. And we're the first ones, walhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, to establish there's no obedience and disobedience to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. So that ain't the case. Well, suppose he told me to do something in disobedience to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. He's Salafi. You don't have to worry about that no more. Ain't nobody calling you to do something in opposition to the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And I'm not saying that we're not going to be mistaken. But I'm saying nobody's intentionally, like at the other place, is going to call you to do other than disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, like the Imam saying after the salah, raise your hands, Al-Fatiha. Ain't nobody going to say that to us. So nobody should feel that he's too big or he's too good or he knows too best that he doesn't want to follow the lead. You got to follow the lead, like it or not. If you have objection to the lead, then there's a protocol to put forth your suggestion or your recommendation. Maybe the people know better than you. Sometimes when you're not in charge of something and you're looking at it from the outside, you say, man, if the brother would just do this and that, man, the masjid would stay a lot cleaner. You saying that because you ain't running clean in the masjid. He running that thing every day. He sees this is the best way. So what you do is you present your suggestions and your recommendations after you obey the command of those people in charge on whatever aspect they're in charge of. You present your recommendation. It will be taken into consideration. Maybe things will go in your favor. Maybe things won't. If they go in your favor, alhamdulillah, it's easy for you to say, I hear and I obey. If they don't go in your favor, you still got to learn how to say, I hear and I obey, and be down with the jama'ah. Because it's, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, what you love and being separate, what you hate and being together is better for you than what you love and being separate. When it comes to working together and being together, it's going to be a lot of stuff in us that we don't like. I don't like his move. I don't like that. I don't like that. It's going to be a lot of stuff you don't like. But that stuff you don't like, hearing and obeying and following the organization and the decisions that have been made, is better for you than what you like in being by yourself. I know how to do that thing better than him. If you know how to do that thing better than him, then why are you not loving for your brother what you love for yourself by being Mr. Supportive of him? He's cleaning the masjid. He got a program. You feel yours is better. You come to the masjid, tell him, man, mashallah, Allah bless you much. The hardest working brothers in the masjid, man. Take this lunch. Take a break. I got it. Knock it out. He might, as he noticed, mashallah, what you do over there, this, that. Well, you know, I had this other method, you know, maybe you like to consider it. You know, I did this, that. It seems like it cuts the time down. I was just trying to watch my watch. It seemed like I got done a little faster than you. And I know you could do the thing faster than me because this is your responsibility. Or whatever, like this. If somebody felt that he really can do the job better than the next person, he should be actually doing it if he can do it. But all this sitting in the back seat telling somebody, you wrong, I ain't listening to that, you out of it, and so on and so forth. This is if somebody's calling to straight disobedience to Allah and His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. But if the people are the people who are entrusted with responsibility, then everybody's going to have to know that they have to follow that lead. And it might take a little time, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it don't take no time. Because the longer it takes, the harder it's going to be. The longer it takes, the harder it's going to be until we understand that we have to follow the lead, inshallah, tabarak wa ta'ala. In establishing the community in this da'wah to Salafiyya, the people are going to understand that we're going to need amongst us money men, or the people who have, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's permission, have a good love of the money and are in possession of a lot of it, and know how to keep it, and know how it flows, and know how it comes and goes, and what have you. This is important in establishing this da'wah. Maybe some of us, we don't see the money that's behind establishing this da'wah. It's been a lot of money behind establishing this da'wah. Maybe the brothers, and we can just take one look at it, maybe we just say, mashallah, we've benefited from the books of Bilal Phillips, hafizahullah, Abu Amina. You're just looking at his knowledge that he imparted that benefited you. You ain't look at the wealthy men who backed the publishing of his books until he got strong enough to publish his own books. You ain't look at that. Somebody got to look at that, that understands is money behind spreading this da'wah. Now the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and we want to look at it as an example, we have people around here with money that supported it. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam on many occasions had to make the call and entrust certain affairs with the people of the money to let them handle it. We're going to have to understand that people can handle money, have handled money, got money, knows how it come and go and whatever, and they're going to have to handle that for the believers. Maybe we don't understand as we're just looking at this da'wah to Salafiyya through the microscope of a classroom setting. It's more to that. Prioritizing is important. You got a lump sum of money that comes in any given day of the week, or on Jumu'ah, that money has to be spent to benefit the Muslims. What you going to spend the money on? You don't know. Because you can't even manage your own money in your own household. And some of us, we know it. At the end of the month, we just say, man, for some reason I can't get it together. It ain't no big problem if you can't get it together. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. But some people got it all the way together, and them the people have to handle this for us. A lot of decisions are made as far as prioritizing the spending of the money of the Muslim. This is real serious. The money that the people put down as sadaqah, fi sabilillah, that's one of the biggest trusts anybody can hold in his hands. Don't think that because you in charge means you know how to handle the spending of some money. You know you don't know how to handle something, you better pass it off to somebody who knows how to handle it. It's real important that the money is spent wisely. One of the main complaints, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that we have heard from many, many, many masjids is the mismanagement of funds. Every masjid, when they get chance for a community meeting and everybody to put some input in, mismanagement almost always comes up. And whoever don't know it, the people who have been involved, we know it real well, alhamdulillah, that mismanagement, the people accuse you of it all the time. But perfect managers are never accused of mismanaging. Some people just so sharp that even you looking at it, you can't even put it together. You can't even blame them. All you can say is, mashallah, because even if they put it in your hands, you couldn't do it as good as some of the people can do it. It's going to be important, inshallah, that the people who know how to handle money, handles it. Money got to be made to establish and spread this dawah. It ain't going nowhere with no money. I mean, as we said, ya rahmukallah, the classes and the lectures, this part of it, this ain't all of it. There's a lot more that go to it. And if you think it ain't more that go to it, see all of the students of knowledge who cry for money to support them. What you crying for money? You don't need no money, just read. Alaykum salam. If this da'wah is a just call Allah, call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it don't cost no money to say call Allah, call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It costs money to listen to somebody talk. See, I heard it ain't cost no money. It don't cost money to listen. It don't cost money to say, call Allah, call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why do people need money? You gotta have money to spread this dawah. To establish this dawah, it's gonna take money. And when that money comes in, then the people who know how to handle the spending of that money has to spend. Everybody wanna go study. Somebody gotta make a decision on who should get the money and who shouldn't. Or who should get the most of the lump sum. And we gonna put $1,000 out for the students of knowledge. Who gonna get the most of that thousand? Is everybody going to get it equally, or some people going to get more than that? Some people going to make them decisions. Maybe the students themselves don't like the decision, or maybe the people looking don't like the decisions. The people who manage money well, that we all can know, manage, and know how to run money, you just got to go with it. Like it, see it, understand it, don't. That's how it is. You got to go with it. What's going to be under this also that's important is the aspect of fundraising and raising more money than the normal money that flows through the masjids. Like you have your everyday money where people might drop a dollar or a quarter or $5 or something like that during the week, and some of the people don't do that. And then on the Jumu'ah, most of the people are dropping the money, and then the people in charge are watching the money as it goes. But more money is needed for that. To establish this dawah to Salafiyah, more money is needed than that regular money. Because as some of the brothers used to say, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, they might be right, Salafi brothers don't like to put their money down fi sabilillah. Those Salafi brothers not going to establish this dawah and maintain it. They're going to be Salafis as individuals in their lives. But they're not going to be a part of establishing and spreading this dawah to Salafiyah on a communal level if they ain't putting their money down for this dawah. As I remember just last week, as I reminded myself when I was walking on the carpet to put $10, at least $5 for that day and $5 for that day. And all of the brothers who had came with me that had their shoes, they put $10 down too for wearing their shoes so the carpet can be cleaned. Maybe some of us, not understanding the affairs of administration, think the rug clean itself. All right. Between Dhuhr and Asr, ain't nobody on the rug. How it get dirty? It don't clean itself like you fast in Ramadan, or you fasting a health fast or something like that. You don't eat, your body is cleansing itself. Rug ain't gonna clean itself. Money clean this thing. The rug wear out, it has to be bought another one. It costs money to buy it. The people who put the most wear on it should put the most money down for it. The people who put the most wear on it should put the most money down for it. And if somebody sees, as sometimes the people see, and we used to be tested with this issue up in East Orange, oftentimes the sunnah has more precedence. Go out and to a masjid with a dirt floor and establish the sunnah. They're going to be the first ones crying. Wallah, if this masjid floor was dirt, how many people would be in here? People in here, they pay for a carpet, they want to be on the carpet. And maybe some of us don't understand. Brothers have money and they don't mind putting $1,500 down for a new carpet if it's going to be kept clean so they can make salat on it. They don't mind putting $1,500 down or $2,000 down. You don't understand, people love to give their wealth fi sabilillah to benefit Allah's deen, if it's going to benefit Allah's deen. People don't love to give their money if people want to come in and dirty and don't clean up. As if it's from the sunnah to make the rug dirty and raggedy and say, that's Islam. Ain't no Islam in that. Ain't nothing from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to say, get a rug, dirty it, wear it out, and then have everybody else get on the rug like that when they make salat. Ain't nothing from Islam saying that. And we have to understand, as the people who will be running the affairs of the administration understand, it takes money to run this, and it takes people who know how to manage money to run that money. And I hope inshallah ta'ala that we understand that point, because, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, this is one of the most crucial points in establishing this Dawah to Salafiyah. Don't be like some of the people who we know years. You give them something, they're in charge. In years, they can't handle nothing. They can't raise no money. They can't make no money. And they can't manage no money. And they don't have nothing. You don't know how many masjids in America where their people are behind in rent, are behind in phone bills, are behind in electricity, are behind in this and that. We know because they ask you to do a talk there so they can raise some money, knock off this bill, knock off that bill, knock off this bill and that bill. It's real important that somebody who is trustworthy manages and prioritizes the spending and the collecting of the money of the Muslims. Because when this is in place, you can't imagine the type of success that the Muslims will have when the affairs of the money are in place. And we witness it in East Orange, alhamdulillah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us. As we kind of usually say, the security team is important and crucial. The security team is not just composed up of a group of brothers that like to fight. Now, though it's going to be, that's going to be part of the mix. The combination that is some people that just like love confrontation. There's no escape to have that ingredient in the security team. People who just love confrontation. But at the same time, it's going to be another ingredient in keeping that thing strategic and wise and in order and not chaotic. And this is important for us to understand, because if you don't have no security team, you don't have no safety for the masjid, for the manhaj, or for the Muslims. People got to defend the house of Allah. And people have to defend this correct manhaj. As we're saying, the security teams, they play a very important role in defense of the house of Allah and the manhaj of our Salaf al-Saleh and the safety of the believers. But they have to be organized. They have to be organized. They have to meet. They have to train. They have to have some direction. They have to have a leader or a mayor or whoever that's going to be in charge and watching those moves that they have to make, and making sure that those moves are in the best interest of the overall administration of the masjid and those who are responsible for running the affairs of the believers. If that security team is not in place, can we just stop to take for a minute? Also, what's important, as we were already motioning to, is the cleaning and the upkeep of the masjid. Sometimes we don't realize that this is an important aspect of establishing this masjid, or this dawah, is keeping the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clean. And it's important that people are responsible for keeping the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clean. And sometimes the people, they can overlook this. Sometimes the people can overlook the cleaning of the masjids. And unfortunately, we've been to many masjids that are dirty. Because the people don't play an important part in keeping the masjid clean. Nobody should be stronger in this, inshallah, than the Salafi brothers in keeping the masjid clean and understanding that we're going to have the masjid to be the focal point in the lives of the believers. It has to be clean and inviting for the people to come in. People are not going to come in and make salat and the rug just dirty and stink. Eventually, the people are just going to be chased away. The house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've been commanded to keep this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clean and to maintain this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's important that we have this in place if we're going to establish this da'wah, inshallah ta'ala. And I just wanted to mention this point, even if it seems like a small point, just to show that this thing is going to be more than a lecture, inshallah, in a class. We have to understand that the construction or the building of the masjid for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is important. And the expanding and the getting larger of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The houses, the masjids of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are going to get bigger and bigger and bigger as more people are accepting Islam. Islam's not on the decrease or the decline in America. People are accepting Islam. And the people are accepting the correct manhaj in Islam, not on the decline. It's on the incline. Everybody's coming to the correct manhaj. It's going to be important that we have a group of brothers that are handling the construction of the masjid to make sure that the masjid, inshallah ta'ala, is stable and solid enough for the believers to come to and make the salat. They're going to be the people, inshallah, executing the commandments of the people of knowledge and making sure that the masjid is constructed on the sunnah. Like we see the first start right here and taking out whatever you called what it was. It wasn't a mihrab because you didn't leave the salat up there. And وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. But the people of construction, they're going to have to play an important role in the establishment of this da'wah, and probably more so in this Germantown masjid from what we hear of some of the structural problems here at the masjid, or for some of the circumstances that we find ourselves in here at the Germantown masjid of expanding and moving out and what have you. An construction team has to be in place to handle those things when it's needed. Handle those things when it's needed. Remember, everybody's not on this personal program. Oh, I'll handle that on Thursday. No, we need you to handle that on Monday, brother. We're giving you a 5-day notice, but we want it done by Monday, not by Thursday. People are going to have to be in place to handle the different aspects that are needed in handling and running the masjid. The masjid, remember, and this da'wah is more than just a class. People are going to have to handle other things. Don't think that you can just sit down and a brother do it. He know how to use a hammer better than me. Why I got to go using a hammer? Whoever knows how to use the hammer should be a part of the group of brothers that are going to make sure that anything's needed in the masjid, that they're going to be on call to knock it out whenever and wherever it's needed. It's real important that we understand that this is real important for us. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house, and we have to maintain His house properly if we're upon this manhaj, as the people who came before us on this manhaj and maintaining the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nowadays, it's real important, even if it doesn't seem like it. It's important that some people know how to handle the sound system. The sound system is real important in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nowadays. The message has to be heard. It has to be heard loud and clear. And this is important for the people, inshallah ta'ala, to understand in the masjid that people have to give importance to the sound system. That if the talk is delivered, that this thing costs $5, $10, whatever, instead of having something way over there, it's right there in place. That proper tape equipment and whatever else is needed to make sure that the classes and the khutbahs and the lectures are heard clearly by the people and are taped clearly, so if the people wanted to hear them as reminders or what have you, that the people can hear. All of this is real important. How do you think somebody wants to listen to his tape? Shh, 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 shh. And then he says, shh, I can hear something in there. Really, all of this is important in establishing this Dawatul Mubarak, inshallah ta'ala. And I just wanted to bring out some points that we might consider small points, but have been very valuable and instrumental points in the spreading of this manhaj. The speaker system and the sound system, it has to be together. People, inshallah ta'ala, are going to learn how to recite the Quran from the proper recitation of the imam when he leads the salat. When that sound system is nice and clear, everybody hear it like it should be heard, instead of you hearing the brother saying, whatever. It's real important that the sound system is clear, because it's going to bring across the message of the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of our Salaf al-Saleh. What's also going to be important in establishing, and this is only a branch from the point before it, establishing the bookstore is going to be extremely important. And alhamdulillah, you might as well call it a done deal for yourselves if you want it to be a done deal. You might as well call it a done deal if you want it to be a done deal. I won't have to go into any of the details of it. You can listen to Sadiq speak to you any day about running IIIN. And of compromising with the people of foolishness by having a Dawah center up the street instead of having everything right on the set so that the believers can benefit. So this is real important that it'll be that this is right on the set so that the people can benefit. But sometimes if they gotta go up the street, maybe the people who need a little boost won't do it. The people who need a little boost won't do it. The people who don't need no boost, they don't care if it's across town or in another state, they're gonna take care of what they have to take care of because they see the importance of gaining the knowledge. However, when it comes to the masjid should be providing certain services for the believers that everyone could benefit from it readily. And that reminds me that, alhamdulillah, in connection with some of the people who donate books, we have a box of Mohsen Khan Qurans that will be donated to the masjid, and one Islamic library from Dar es Salaam, inshallah, that will be donated to the masjid, and then one Islamic library in Arabic with the tafsir of Ibn Kathir and some other of the books in Arabic, inshallah, that we can put on the shelves, put the stamp of the masjid on it, inshallah, so that the people can benefit. But at any rate, this is going to be one of the aspects of the bookstore, not the Dawah Center anymore. Just one of the aspects of the bookstore. All that stuff will just be provided for the believers, and the believers benefit. It was only by Allah's favor, and this is how we see it, and Allah is the judge, that Allah had placed people with good hearts in charge of the Dawah Center so that the people could benefit from it. And that the monies would just be going back in to benefit the believers. You don't know how much money has been made off of the Muslims, and ain't nothing go back to benefit the Muslims. Hundreds of thousands of dollars has been spent on Hajj packages. It ain't benefit no Islam and the Muslims in America. It ain't benefit no Islam and the Muslims in America. Hundreds and thousands of dollars have been made on the Hajj packages alone. Allah knows best how much has been made on some of the people who are handling books. None of it comes back to the Muslims. It's better when you spend your money on your books and tapes and jilbabs and iqabs that the profit comes back to you. So you can have a bigger masjid, a cleaner masjid, and all the other affairs of the Muslims can be taken care of in light of whatever profits benefit from it. Or if it means having always on hand free literature for the new shahadas, or whatever it might be needed of clothing and what have you to help the people who are needed. All of this will stem from a bookstore, and the benefits of it in establishing this dawah are magnificent. And the only people who really understand how much it has benefited the people are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then those people have been directly involved in the dawah centers or the bookstores of the Muslims to see the benefit of running this operation. So this is very important for us to understand in establishing this dawah that's based on ilm, that you're going to have a place that's pumping that ilm out more than the classes themselves. Pumping it out more than the khutbah itself. Giving the people the opportunity to learn their deen. This is a point, and this point is sometimes a little sensitive, and I'll just say it and leave it at that, and let the people who understand, inshallah, handle it. The sisters can play an important role in establishing this dawah to Salafiyya. The sisters can play an important role in establishing this dawah to Salafiyya. And I hope that the people are responsible and wise, inshallah, that they benefit from this statement, that the sisters can benefit this dawah to Salafiyya, and to benefit from the sisters in a way that could benefit Islam and the Muslims, inshallah ta'ala. And I'm not saying from this, and I hope nobody misunderstands me, the women not going to be in charge. The women are not going to be in charge. But that don't mean that they don't benefit. You run your household, but your wife cook your food for you. Nah, you run your household, and you in charge, but she cook your food for you. You're going to decide how much money is going to be spent on the food. Maybe she might buy it or decide what she's going to buy or whatever to serve you. So the sisters, their skills can be used to benefit the Muslims, but everything has to be in its place. And those people are wise, inshallah ta'ala, and understand Islam, know the place of the women, and then know best how to use the women to benefit the Muslims while the women stay in their places. After the salah, inshallah ta'ala, I guess we could open the floor if there were any questions to this presentation. And then we just have one final point that we want to mention, inshallah ta'ala, in the establishment of the community. And this point, this final point, is going to have to be some class participation, inshallah ta'ala. If the class participation is good, inshallah, it's a good sign. If the class participation is bad, it's a bad sign. If it's good, it's a good sign. If it's bad, it's a bad sign. And we'll mention it after the salat, inshallah, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. And I have $20, inshallah. If I'm one of the weak brothers, I don't have money. You know, the students of knowledge, we always complain we don't have any money. This $20... if the 100 brothers match and beat my $20, we raise $2,000 right now to help start establish the Salafi Dawah. If we don't raise it, then we can see maybe we off to a bad start. If we raise it, we can see, inshallah, we off to a good start. This Dawah is going to need money. If you think that this won't determine is it going to be good or bad, watch and see. The people who have been involved before, we already know from experience that it takes this money. The brothers who are holding heavy, they got to drop like the brother dropped, a knot of 20s.
Don't follow that, please.
So we can establish this money up. Let some of the brothers just pass it up or whatever. But this is serious in the establishment of this dawah, that the money has to be there. If it looked like the brother next to you, he's a little weak and is holding, drop 40 in. The brother next to you, love for your brother what you love for yourself. It looked like he's a little weak, pay up for your brother. But this is, inshallah ta'ala, this money. I don't know if y'all got quick counters to count, inshallah ta'ala, before we finish, to see on what level the brothers really want to start off with. When it comes to putting your money down to establish this dawah, the dawah costs money and it takes money, mashallah. And we hope that everybody understands that, inshallah, and that nobody's too shy to give his money openly as he gives his money secretly. You can slip something in the box on your way out if nobody looking at you, but try to drop this money where the people can see, to show that we want to establish this Salafi Dawah, inshallah, and that we're serious about it. This thing, this Dawah, is more than a lecture. It's much more than a lecture. It's our way of life. the way of the Salaf, inshaAllah ta'ala, and it takes money to run this way of life and to run a masjid and to establish a community. This is what I wanted to offer today as a reminder for myself and hopefully some benefit for the believers, and some of the major aspects as well as some of the smaller ones we mentioned for an example that it's going to take to establish this manhaj in America, inshaAllah tabarak wa ta'ala. I had to be brief, and we didn't quote text from the Quran and the Sunnah on every point. If somebody feels uncomfortable about some points or whatever, then we might have to bring some ayahs or something to convince the people on some of the points if they don't understand it. But if some of the points weren't clear and there's some questions or whatever, we hope that the people, inshallah, present the questions now so they can be dealt with. Like, we hope that when the administration is handling their affairs, that the people, if they have a problem, that they take the proper channels in order to express their complaints or to make known their suggestions so that we can deal with it. Because the undermining and the undercurrent isn't any good in trying to establish a community and a masjid. It's not any good in establishing a community and masjid, the undercurrent. Like after the talk, somebody say, he says such and such, he dead wrong on that. This is the time and the forum that if someone felt that something wasn't correct or something was out of place or whatever, then these are the types of forums, inshallah ta'ala, where they can be addressed, not afterwards where people huddle up and then cause dissension and division in the community. Is no more need of that. We Salafi and everybody can come forward with their stuff. We gotta work this thing out and we have to move it forward, inshallah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is what I had to offer. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabina Muhammad. The brother said 805. I was hoping with a statement of 2,000 that we would have made at least 1,000 to show that if we come halfway, inshallah, we good. But if we worse than half stepping, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah mubarak. I just wanted to share something briefly with the brothers. Based on an afar, a narration from one of the Sahabas.
How much money it costs? Ask me sometime. I see $1 million float through my hands in our administration every 12 months or maybe 10 months now in these times. It takes a lot of money to establish this manhaj. A lot of money, and ain't nobody going to give it to you. You got to give it to yourselves to establish this manhaj as the people are looking and waiting to say, now they got it, let's see what they going to do. We're going to show and prove, inshallah ta'ala, with our monies and our skills and our time and being patient with each other until we work out what we got to work out and do what we got to do. And the success is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.